Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. A couple things I'm going to start off with today, but today I'm going to be talking about, by the way, when I get into the show here in a few minutes, immigration. And a few of my thoughts, shall we say, on the Republicans, some of the Republicans in Congress. Because I'm not sure they're Republicans. I'm not sure they're not progressives with an R in front of their name. And it's quite disconcerting. The immigration, though, is, if we don't get it under control, the death knell of our country. And if you think that this is just about votes, oh, it's partially about votes. But remember, progressives have a long-term plan. They love killing multiple birds with one stone. And Barack Obama and his progressive cronies are in fact killing a whole bunch of birds with one stone. One of those birds is called America. That's right, it's social justice. This is far bigger than immigration. Stay tuned. But before I get into the, shall we say, the corpus of the show, I've been getting hundreds, if not thousands, of letters, emails, etc., which I'm going to respond to. Some came in months ago. My apologies. And it has to do with my books. The fact that Land for Love and Money is approximately 1 year late, the second volume, from when we wanted to get it out. And book four of the Threads West series, which most of the emails concern, is now about, give or take, 9 months late. And I apologize. Let me explain to you, and I guess if you want to say this is a tale of woe, my dog died, my trailer burned down, and then she left me. I guess you might say that, but nonetheless, it's facts. You know, sometimes life gets in the way of what you really want to do. Writing these series are absolute passions of mine. They are my missions, and they will be written. And they will be completed. And these books will come out faster and faster and faster. I had planned, actually, me and the publishers had planned, by this time, to have books 4 and 5 out. Obviously, neither is out. On February 4th, well, first of all, going back to last fall, in September, October of last fall, about a month or two prior to what we had hoped to be the release date of book 4, my publishers discovered that the distributor, the folks who actually get the books in and then ship them out to various places, nationally, internationally, you name it, was, how do I say this kindly? Why don't we say its accounting was off? By thousands and thousands of both print and ebooks. In other words, they had sold print and ebooks, had issued us reports without many of those sales showing, and therefore no checks, and then lied about it. Flat out lied about it. In fact, when we got the final numbers, and they're not all in, we still have a number of outlets to go. From just Amazon and Barnes & Noble, there seems to be a discrepancy of should we say tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars? Because of that, we had to switch distributors. The new folks are great. But that meant switching ISBN numbers. You know that 9-digit, I think it is, code on the back of the book by the barcode? And that's the way all bookstores track books. And when you switch ISBNs in the middle of a series, as I have found out, it is a total wreck. Because the other books, the first books, books 1, 2, and 3, with the old ISBNs, showed as out of print and unavailable. And it takes a long time to wind ISBNs through a system, the book system, which is rather archaic. And folks can't get books. In fact, to this day, and I vowed, by the way, that I was not bringing any books out unless everybody could get them. We've been there, done that. I mean, in one way, it's very flattering that books sell out. It's very flattering that so many people want them. It's very frustrating, both for readers and for us, when people can't get them. Well, take that and put it on steroids with this ISBN deal. Folks couldn't find it. Stores couldn't order it. It was a nightmare. In fact, to this day, although this should be solved in the next week or two, the Hastings bookstore, which sells thousands of my books, 130 plus or minus stores in a number of Western states, still is upside down on these ISBNs. Although, like I said, we think that that's the last, and we think that they're about straightened out. On February 4th, with this partially straightened out and gearing up once again, while the publishers pursued the distributors for, should we say, just compensation, I wrecked my truck in the middle of New Mexico, the middle of nowhere, 1:30 in the morning, going the same way as the only other vehicle for about 50 miles in any direction. The poor guy's trailer kind of detached, should we say, the ball sheared, just as I was passing him. I mean, you talk about fate. And we both wound up totaling our vehicles, his vehicle upside down. I had to cut him out of his seatbelt while there was gas dripping out of his engine. Neither one of us was injured, but both Ford trucks were, you know, toast. And it took about a month to straighten that out. Any of you who have been through it know what I mean. Insurance, the old truck, getting all the estimates, having it totaled, finding a new vehicle, yada, 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 yada. On March 1, literally, I got my new truck. I got it from a great dealership over in Idaho. Terrific price. And I'm tickled with it. And I was driving it home on March 1, kind of delighting in the new truck, which, by the way, has so many electronic gadgets on it that I haven't learned them yet. It talks to me, and I talk back, and, you know, nothing happens. Yes, a geek, I am not. But driving the new truck up to the ranch house about 11:30 at night, bouncing on the ranch road, tickled to have the new vehicle, tickled to have this wrinkle that had cost me a month out of the way. I walk in the door to the sound of rushing water and ceilings, like the dining room ceiling, etc., collapse on the tables, the floors, my little book depository. Oh, what a wreck. 6 inches of water standing in corners. It was quite a wreck. Myself and a ranch hand worked till 5:30 in the morning getting all the wet, sopping, nasty stuff out of there. I didn't realize how nasty that ceiling was till it came down. And then began that whole escapade, fighting with the insurance company. And that insurance company was nothing like the insurance company on my truck, which was actually absolutely really a delight to deal with, Liberty Mutual. I don't often praise insurance companies, but they were great. But the other insurance company, the one that insured the ranch house and the ranch, well, why don't we just say that in the end, there was about $100,000 spent on putting this house back together. I mean, we're talking about tearing out two floors down to the dirt, 7 levels of floor that had been built since 1868 with all sorts of interesting historical finds. And by the way, I left a time capsule in one of the floors with a newspaper and a note from me for the next poor slob who had to tear that floor up. That should be interesting for him. And when I tell you, I mean, I posted some pictures on the website. You can go there, threadswestseries.com. And I posted some pictures on Facebook. But, you know, you can only post so many pictures. You have no idea. This house was absolutely upside down. Even the rooms that were not impacted were filled with so much stuff from the rooms that were, that there was a path, literally, to the computer, to the one functioning toilet, because part of the bathroom, part of the downstairs ceiling came down in the bathroom, to the one upstairs toilet in the house, to the kitchen table, which is a 4x4 round table that was shoved back in the corner of the kitchen because the kitchen was full of books and chairs and all sorts of crud from the living room, where the wood floor had warped, next to the dining room floor, which we had to tear out, and the laundry room floor, etc., etc., with nasty, smelly drywall, sopping wet all over the place. I don't wish that on anybody. And literally, and by the way, the insurance company, I digressed here. So, with over $100,000 spent to put this place back together, and it's not quite done yet, I'll get to that in a moment. Their initial estimate, you can't make this up. Their initial estimate was $3,208. That's right, $3,208. That is unbelievable. And when I raised holy hell, they raised that estimate to $8,700 plus or minus dollars. Woo-hoo! Anyway, you can imagine what a battle that was, which, by the way, in the end came out fine. But you can imagine how much time it took, scheduling contractors, et cetera, in the middle of nowhere, I might add. You know, there are logistical problems that you have in the middle of nowhere you don't have in town when you're trying to get something like this done. Electricians and plumbers, folks with drywall, carpenters, painters. And the last thing that needs to be done in the house, tear out part of the patio and replace the entire French front door, which we're just gearing up to do now. However, I had a one flat surface in the house, the kitchen table, to do all the work that I do for clients in real estate and conservation easements, the radio show, to write, etc. Impossible. You know, when I write a book, I lay out all the research, usually over a big table. I had no big table. The dining room table was totaled. There was no space to do anything. There was no laundry. From approximately March 1 to approximately May, the house only had heat 2 weeks of that time period. It didn't have running water a large part of that time period. By the way, this insurance company told me there was no impairment. There was no loss of use. In fact, I got an email. I might frame it. You can reach your bed, the toilet, and the stove. Therefore, there is no loss of use. Honest to God, that's in black and white. To make a long story short, the insurance company problem got rectified. And why don't we just say we're happy with how it was. The house is 95% back together and looking great. The only thing we have to do is tear out the friggin' patio, a huge mess, and replace a French front door, full glass, both sides, that's so warped you can't close it. But the house, oh, and the downstairs bath, the shower has to be finished. That's right. But the house is back together. I do have flat surfaces. I am rocking and rolling. And that is what has occurred these last 9 or 10 months. I apologize. The books are coming. Don't lose hope. And I will tell you that starting with book 4, here's a silver lining. There's about 25 pages up front in book 4, which bring readers totally up to speed in the story with the characters that they bonded to. There is a full spread, both pages map, which just rocks. It's just terrific. Showing the origin and the travels of the characters and their points of convergence, both good and bad. So no, you won't have to go back and read the other 3 books. I almost guarantee you, I mean everybody's different, but I almost guarantee you you'll be able to pick up book 4, read that 25 refresh pages with the map, and you'll be right back into the story. You will be on the stage in 1856, you bet. Okay, enough of that. Let's talk about immigration. So, as you know, last year we had these kids. And, of course, the progressives very cleverly talked about the kids and their families and all the bad stuff that's happening to them in their countries and how we had to have empathy and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, the progressives tell us that there's 11 million illegal aliens. Well, folks, look. Oh, and then they tell us that this President Obama has deported more people than anybody else. These are all flat, bald-faced lies, just like everything else they say. You know, you can keep your doctor. You bet. Except immigration changes the face, the nature, the spirit, the values, and the content of a country. And listen, I come from a family of immigrants. I think immigration is terrific. Those of you who have read and those of you who will read the Threads West series, it's all about immigration. It's about the Native Americans. It's about the immigrants. It's a story of us. We are a nation of immigrants. But it was done legally. It was done according to the law. I've spoken on previous shows about how this president and his minions deliberately break the law, deliberately flaunt the Constitution, and thereby weaken everybody's respect for both the Constitution and the law. That's why you see this spike in violence in all the major cities, along with the racial incitement of the race baiters, including Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, that despicable man, Al Sharpton, and their ilk, the crooked mayor of Baltimore, the supposed state attorney, Mosley, from Baltimore. Wow. I mean, unbelievable. I've had shows and I've talked to you about, there was a show, if you go back in the archives, Reparations, Retribution, about how Barack Obama believes that the white men, and if you read Michelle Obama's thesis, she believes it too, the white race on the planet Earth, and particularly the United States, is responsible for all the ills and has stepped on and downtrodden the brown-skinned peoples forever, and that there needs to be justice. And we've talked about redistribution. He loves to redistribute. That's what he does. Barack Obama is a progressive. That's spelled communist. That's what they are. Period. There's no way around it. They change their name to cover their colors, just like they always do. On everything. Healthcare isn't about control. Healthcare is about all the poor, uninsured people who, by the way, are going broke with Obamacare, can't get coverage, can't get medical help. You know, that's a whole nother story. Immigration is the pinnacle of social justice, not healthcare, folks. Because immigration, you have immigrating to America, 99% of the immigrants are brown-skinned people from all corners of the earth. In fact, he has special programs for Muslims, particularly programs for not Christian Muslims, but for not Christian Muslims, obviously, not Christian folks from the Mideast, but Muslim folks from the Mideast. And that goes back to his, we'll be kind, Muslim sympathies. But when an immigrant comes to this country illegally, number one, he undermines the Constitution. He wants to do that. Remember, this is the guy who in 1991 in an interview with on PBS said, "The Constitution is a flawed document. It is merely a covenant of negative rights." Google it up, listen to him yourself, not making it up. So when he flouts the immigration laws, which are some of the most basic laws of a country, I mean, it's the country's sanctity, it's the country's soul. He undermines the Constitution, which he wants to do. He takes power away from Congress, which he wants to do. He vests more power in himself, which he wants to do. And he builds a future voting base to perpetuate his progressive ilk, which he wants to do. And this is a big one. When those people come in, you've read the articles I've posted. By the way, this week there's all sorts of articles on immigration. Read them. Read them. There's articles in the other categories too, but they're light. This week's focus is immigration. When you bring people in and you give them tax rebates when they haven't worked here, when the moment they step in the country, whether it's because they flew here pregnant so that their kid could be one of the immigration babies and be covered by the law, whether it's kids that were sent by families later to be approved for the entire family to come over. When all these people, the minute they step foot illegally on American soil, and none of those laws are enforced by edict, read these articles. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them here in a moment. By edict from the White House to Homeland Security, who, by the way, is headed by a brown-skinned guy, appointed by Barack Obama. None of this is an accident. It's not a coincidence. I'm not down on brown-skinned people. Barack Obama is. I mean, on one hand, he talks about how they're stepped on, yet on the other hand, he makes them dependent. Who's stepping on who? But benefits to brown-skinned people are outweighed by his hatred of America, Americans, particularly white Americans. He's more interested in hurting someone than helping someone. When brown-skinned people get all these benefits, welfare, Social Security, you name it, the moment they step over here, when they're illegal and they're not pursued, when they're welcomed with open arms by his progressive ilk in sanctuary cities like San Francisco, when even when they commit heinous crimes, rape, grand larceny, murder, maiming, 600,000 of those types of crimes, from more petty crimes to the ultimate murder, in Texas alone over the last several years. I mean, you're just hearing about them now. Every day, an illegal alien, many of whom now who have these special visas, which contrary to a federal court order, because he doesn't care about the law, are being pumped out at record numbers. When these people get all the benefits that an American gets, like black people in the city who have been here forever, or white folks who are not so fortunate somewhere else, when they get all these benefits, folks, it's a redistribution of wealth. Do you understand that? He's taking from the American taxpayer, the working class of America, and I don't care what color you are, white, black, brown, yellow, green. If you work and you pay taxes, your wealth is being redistributed to people who come here illegally, that he wants to illegally have vote, that he will not deport and will not pursue even when they commit a crime. In fact, they've released 65,000 criminals in the last year from federal, state, and local jails. And we're not just talking about the guys who took a stick of gum. We're talking about people who committed rape. We're talking about people who committed murder. Because Barack Obama doesn't care about the victims of these people. Barack Obama doesn't care about any of that. What he and his ilk care about is redistributing wealth, reparations, and social justice. Immigration is social justice, and it's backed by the UN, as I'm about to show you. Because the UN hates America as much as Barack Obama. Much of the rest of the world is his ally in this. And of course, the more people the rest of the world can get rid of, the more, less people they have to support. We all know, just plain common sense, that we can close this border. Yes, we can't close it to every single person because somebody's going to find a way to sneak through. But you know what? We can close it to the hundreds of thousands, the millions who are surging across it every year. By the way, invited with advertisements and pamphlets at consulates basically throughout the world, but particularly through South and Central America. Those pamphlets and consulates, etc., paid for by you. I mean, the whole thing is insidious. And then to stem talk, we have our little PC police. Remember, he who controls word controls speech and writing and controls information and therefore controls thought. PC isn't about PC and people's feelings. PC is about control. PC is about promoting an idea that people can then not discuss in any way, shape, or form or any context without being called racist, without being called whatever. Do you understand what a monumental conspiracy and plan this is? And the extreme fringes of the plan, and I don't know, Barack Obama may well be one of them. They want to people California, which California is only too happy to accommodate, Nevada, New Mexico, etc., so that eventually, I'm convinced of this, there's enough brown-skinned Hispanic people in those places that they can vote to return themselves to Mexico. This is the land Mexico lost to that great imperialist, nasty power, America, in the 1846 Mexican-American War. I'm telling you, this is a big plan. This is not, you know, the sky is falling, put on your tinfoil hats, whoop-de-doo. This is a plan designed, along with many other things I might add, to bring America to her knees and to extract wealth from those who need to pay for social justice and give it to those who have been downtrodden for generations. Let me give you some examples here. Did you know that the surge of these kids and all that kind of stuff, I mean, obviously the media doesn't carry it. The surge continues, and it's all, you know, the UN is jumping up and down about how we have to have empathy for these kids, empathy for their families, empathy, empathy, empathy. Of course, the UN isn't paying for anything, and they want to see America, shall we say, assimilated by others. The surge of illegal immigrant children and teens last year was a historic pace. You know, it was in the news. There's 30,000 more, at least, expected to reach the United States within the course of this year. This is just one small segment of illegal immigration. And their families will then be approved to follow them. another several hundred thousand people. By the way, all on the dole the minute they walk over the border. Mexico is actually stopping some of them right now. But, you know, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala are sending record numbers of people. By the way, encouraged by the administration, the consulates, the advertising. Quote, the numbers are surging. This is Linda Hartke. She's the president of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, LIRS. And they're a humanitarian immigration kind of, you know, progressive group. We've seen no change in the numbers. That's Laid Vilches, Ibera, of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in the United States. Okay, Mexico has moved to seize children and families, but, you know, I mean, first of all, it's half-hearted. Secondly, they don't care. And third, they get very few of them. By the way, all these people that are talking about, you know, the empathy for kids, here's some figures for you. Remember, these are the people who are luring them to this country. Without the lure, without the advertising, without the extolation of the consulates, without getting out the word that if you get to America, you're home free. We ain't going to follow the laws. You can commit crimes and we won't follow the laws. Without that invitation, without the upheaval in American immigration law, the next thing I'm going to talk about, these people wouldn't be coming. Excuse me. These groups that I was just quoting and others estimate that 100,000 immigrants did not make it through Mexico last year. Okay, there were 70,000 youths. We're just talking about this one small segment of illegal immigration. 70,000 kids who did get over the border. However, thousands, tens of thousands died or were taken by gangs, assimilated, sold into sex slavery, you name it, while making the trip. They estimate that 200,000 kids tried to make it to the United States. Lured by the United States, I might add. That means 130,000 kids didn't make it. Suffered horrible fates. But these people care about the kids? Wow. That doesn't add up, does it? Of course, not much of what they do adds up until you start looking at why they do it. Anyway, the UN came out with a statement. This is about a month ago. Just to show you exactly what they think about America, illegal immigration, how little they care about the death, rape, who knows what, kidnapping. Who knows what's happened to these other 130,000 kids who have tried to make this trip that they've been invited to make. Quote, the president, the U.S. Congress, and federal government agencies must not lose sight of their legal, moral, and ethical responsibility to keep vulnerable children safe from harm. We have a proud tradition of extending protection to those who seek refuge. It is time to stop giving in to passing financial, political, and institutional pressures with the lives of children at stake, and instead to commit to a consistent, principled approach to the care and custody of unaccompanied migrant children. Make me puke. I mean, make me puke. And when the illegals get here, and whether they're kids or whether they're grown or whether they got here yesterday or whether they got here 5 years ago, Barack Obama's attack on the Constitution and the rule of law, and Barack Obama's and his ilk's bolstering of illegal immigration has resulted in virtually no prosecutions except for murder, where people can't, you know, where the press is kind of watching and you can't get away with it. And illegal aliens know this, which increases the number of illegal aliens coming here and decreases the quality of the illegal aliens coming here. Let's employ some common sense, shall we? If you are a murderer, a rapist, a pedophile, who, by the way, illegal alien pedophiles are not registered. They are not shown in the system. If you're an American pedophile, you're in the system, but not if you're an illegal alien. Oh, no, no, no. Your identity is protected. I'm not making this up. So, the Homeland Security head, who, of course, takes his orders directly from the White House, is now employing rules of Homeland Security. And this comes from a top official in ICE itself, right? Immigration Control. And from border agents. And it comes from documents that they have leaked. Homeland Security has decided that the majority of immigrants who cross the borders illegally can't be detained or deported without the approval of top officials in Washington. In other words, the Border Patrol, the enforcement people can't do their job at the local or state level now. Everything goes through Washington. Just like kind of the bombing of ISIS, you know? Everything has to be approved by Susan Rice of the video fame. The documents don't specifically order agents, because it'd be too blatant, to let illegal immigrants pass freely into the states, but the rules clearly say, quote, don't waste your time because the alien will not be put into detention, sent back, or deported, unquote. Let me quote some more from these sources. Quote, there's literally no reason to arrest an illegal alien because they are specifically telling Border Patrol there will be no consequence for the illegal alien. It is a waste of time and resources, etc., etc. Quote, Border Patrol agents are now being trained to be social workers, not law enforcement, unquote. These documents create three classes of illegal immigrants. Priority one are those who pose a threat to national security, border security, or public safety. Obviously, that isn't followed. Just watch the news every day. And this is what you hear about. There's bad stuff that happens to Americans from illegal aliens. I think just yesterday, some illegal alien who had one of these special visas ran out of gas. A family stopped to help him. He shot the mother and the father and wounded the daughter because he was angry. That's his official reason. Google it up. We all know about the San Francisco. This is what you hear about, folks. This is not even the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. So these training documents create these three categories. Priority three, by the way, are simply described as other immigration violators, unquote. This was put into place last November 20th. It was a directive from the Homeland Security head, Jay Johnson, you know, another social justice guy appointed by Barack Obama. That's back to our shadow government theory we've been talking about. This source said, this is not how it was before. Border Patrol used to arrest, process, and turn the illegal alien over to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's ICE, and the courts. Under the new program, the majority of illegal aliens will be released directly from the Border Patrol with no appointments or expectation that they ever have to show up for a hearing. By the way, more than 80% of these illegal alien kids and their families do not show up for their illegal immigration hearings, and there is no enforcement, no pursuit, no nothing. In fact, the federal government refuses to say where they are relocating these people. Would you like to bet that they're being scattered throughout red state areas to change them blue? I'll bet you. Remember, they're killing a whole flock of birds with one stone.